From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. A resident of a group home in Portland has been charged with the murder of an employee. The incident happened yesterday at a residence operated by Shalom House, which provides treatment for severe mental illness at more than a dozen homes and apartments in southern Maine. Patty White reports.
Portland police say they responded to a home on Woodford Street just before 10 a.m. to a report of a stabbing. The victim, 40-year-old Marlene McNeil of Gorham, was transported to Maine Medical Center, where she later died. Police say the suspect, 40-year-old Armando Javier Negrete, a resident of the home, was apprehended without incident. According to McNeil's LinkedIn profile, she had worked at Shalom House for more than a dozen years and was most recently a program manager. In her bio, she says she was experienced in crisis intervention and loved serving, quote, the less fortunate population. In a written statement, Shalom House says that they're heartbroken about McNeil's death and are focused on supporting her family and their employees and clients. The organization says it's cooperating with law enforcement and government agencies. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Nearly 100 Gorham residents packed a public hearing before the town's planning board last night to speak out against a proposed Amazon distribution facility. Abutters say they don't want a 146,000-square-foot facility with hundreds of vans coming and going 24 hours a day. They're also worried about traffic congestion and light and noise pollution. Gorham resident Pat Mahoney says no amount of buffer material will make the project acceptable to her.
You can plant all the arborvitae you want. It is not going to cover up a big old parking lot and a big old building. And it's not going to block the light, and it's not going to block the beeping.
A handful of residents spoke in favor of the project, saying the town needs a bigger tax base to support services for its growing population. No vote was taken at the hearing. The town's planning board will take up the traffic movement plan with Amazon in June. Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree today visited a Portland teenager who's been held at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center in Texas since November. Speaking alongside fellow Democratic representatives following the oversight visit, Pingree says the 19-year-old Olivia Andre, like other detainees at the Dilley Immigration Processing Center, is struggling.
She's been waiting 2 months to get her eyes checked because she has chronic headaches. She has mental health issues. She doesn't like the food. She feels lonely and isolated and very much separated from her family.
Andre and her family were detained by border agents in New York last year after trying to seek asylum from Canada. Her family was released from the same facility in March. Andre's case has received widespread attention recently as Pingree and others push for her release. The Portland City Council last night reinforced its ban on city employees assisting federal immigration agents, except when required to do so by law or judicial warrant. Councilor Pius Ali says the ordinance gives staff a layer of protection should the Trump administration conduct another enforcement surge in Maine.
If we don't have a very strong protection for our staff and our community, nobody can predict what they can do.
The ordinance bars city employees from granting federal agents access to non-public areas of city property for the purposes of immigration enforcement and from sharing potentially sensitive information, among other restrictions. The measure clarifies that local law enforcement can still cooperate with federal law enforcement on other issues. The Maine Judicial Branch is warning of a text scam involving fake messages claiming to demand payment for unpaid traffic violations, including outstanding tolls or speeding or parking tickets. The messages claim to be from Maine courts. The Judicial Branch says it never sends enforcement or payment notices by text. Those who receive a message should not scan the QR code or barcodes or click any of the links in the notice. Maine's campaign finance regulator is poised to warn candidates about a tactic used to invite spending on their behalf by political action committees. Steve Missler has more.
The practice, known as red boxing, is used by some candidates to skirt laws that ban coordination by campaigns and PACs. It involves posting a message on a candidate's website instructing PACs on what messages to use and what voters to target. Red boxing is often used by congressional campaigns because federal regulators don't enforce it. Now the practice has trickled down to the state level. Three Democratic gubernatorial candidates are accused of engaging in it: Nirav Shah, Hannah Pingree, and Troy Jackson. But Maine laws against coordinated spending are stricter than federal ones, and the Maine Ethics Commission will consider warning candidates against the practice or potentially face investigations and fines. The commission will review the issue on Wednesday. For now, ethics staff is not recommending penalties against the three Democratic campaigns, but it could pursue future enforcement actions if other campaigns use red boxing in the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, menopause and a shifting societal stigma. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.